Vivid Whisper presents Whisperling, Episode 6, Witchcraft. Quinn pursued the Witch of Avarice as she walked quickly and sure-footedly through the woods. Her ankle still hurt, and with each branch she tripped over, Quinn would fall behind, and the witch would make no effort to stop and wait. Quinn wondered once or twice whether Avarice even remembered she was there. Spark followed Quinn. She wasn't sure where Patch was. She picked up another fallen tree branch to keep some weight off her ankle.
How old are you?
Avarice didn't turn around to ask the question. Quinn wasn't certain she had heard right, but she was eager to break the silence.
13.
And how often have you manifested?
Sorry, what?
Interesting. I saw you with those trolls. I'm impressed you're still alive.
She stopped and looked upward at a tree.
Excuse me? Get down from there?
Quinn watched as Patch slowly, sheepishly, climbed down the tree.
Pardon. I didn't mean to lurk.
I've made it perfectly clear how I feel about you rat spies watching me.
No, you misunderstand. I'm not here as Gallows spy. Today, I'm just Quinn's guy, to keep her from getting lost in the forest.
It's true. We wouldn't have found you without them.
Avarice's face grew darker.
I won't leave her side until she gets home safe.
Are you keeping her safe from trolls or from me?
With all due respect, all of the above?
Well, in that case, I swear to you she won't be harmed. I will return her home before sunset. Besides, I can do more to protect her than you can.
That might be okay.
Wait, what?
She swears she'll keep you safe.
I know. How do you know she's telling the truth?
If you don't trust me, then you'd best leave now. If I wanted to hurt you, I don't think your friend could stop me.
She has a point.
Some bodyguard you are.
Just being honest.
So follow me or not, but leave the rat.
Avarice kept walking. Quinn hesitated.
Sorry about this.
Why does she hate you so much?
She doesn't like being spied on. We gave up after a while. She kept catching our rats, and we'd find them in a cage in the middle of the woods.
Maybe we should just leave. She doesn't seem eager to help us.
No. She might know something. You can't give up before you try.
How do we know we can trust her, though?
I mean, even the rats we found trapped were still alive. She even gave them some mushrooms to eat while they waited. She's not dangerous. Well, not if you don't threaten her. Just antisocial.
Quinn, come on. I don't like this.
If she knows something about Scarsteel, we have to ask. Let's go. We'll see you later, Patch.
Roger.
Quinn took off after Avarice. Spark grumbled, but followed.
Hey, wait up!
The Avarice was out of sight, and Quinn thought she had lost her. With Avarice assuming she had left, and Patch assuming she was with the witch, there would be no one looking for her, no one to help her get home.
Over here.
Quinn spun. She had almost run right past Avarice, who knelt by the trunk of a tree, gathering some herbs and stuffing them in the bag she carried. Quinn recognized the knife from Pumpkin's drawing. Avarice rose again.
Good. I had more questions. What? Why do you look so freaked out?
Nothing. Patch is gone.
Good.
They really didn't mean any offense.
They're not the first spy Gallows has sent after me. They won't be the last. Still, I'm glad you stayed.
Why?
And once again, the witch took off. Not in a hurry, but giving no quarter for Quinn to stay on pace.
Now, tell me, Quinn, how many have you told?
About what?
About what?
The witch smiled. Quinn was pretty sure it was at her expense.
What do you think? How many humans have you told that you're a Whisperling?
Oh.
Specifically, I mean recently enough that they'd take you seriously. I'm sure when you were young, your parents loved your powerful imagination. Or else discouraged it. Either way, not the same.
Quinn remembered telling her parents that her fox toy came to life and spoke to her, that the yard was filled with creatures made of wood and little people to play with. She remembered being confused at first when she overheard them talking about how she loved to play pretend.
No one. I haven't told anybody.
Oh. That's a shame. Why not?
They wouldn't believe me.
You're serious? They won't believe you? Just prove it.
What?
Oh, tell me you are not this dim. Have your friend, what's your name again? Spark. Have Spark bite their leg. Ask him to lift up a stick and have them watch it disappear. It should be trivial, I think. Have you ever tried?
I guess not.
The thought had entered Quinn's head before, though she had always suppressed it. Spark had mentioned it too, once or twice, but it was unsettling to hear it spoken so frankly by someone else.
I'm disappointed.
The Avarish knelt down at a fallen tree, pulled out her knife, and started cutting the mushrooms that grew there.
Quinn, we're supposed to be asking her questions.
What?
She keeps asking us questions and you keep answering them. We're supposed to be the ones getting answers.
Okay, you're right. Excuse me.
Still listening.
How do I deal with the dragon?
Dragon?
The dragon. The dragon's been attacking Ardor. Ardor is the town near my house. A huge metal dragon. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Big metal bird with too many wings and a whole lot of cables. Who told you it was a dragon?
Is it not? I'd never seen a dragon before. The colonel showed up and called it a...
The colonel?
Yes. He's a soldier who's been chasing this dragon around, and...
I've heard of the colonel.
You've met?
No.
Avarish pocketed the mushrooms and stood again.
First Gallows, now the colonel. That's quite some company you keep.
The colonel is protecting Ardor from the dragon.
I'm sure he is.
Do you have a problem with him, too?
The colonel is a dangerous man. He follows creatures like your dragon around.
And?
Is that not weird? Going from place to place looking for and killing dangerous fairies? Does that sound like something a reasonable person would do?
He's trying to save Ardor from Scarsteel.
He named it Scarsteel?
Maybe that's what he called it.
How dramatic. If he is such a hero, why did he send you, a little girl, alone, to me?
I'm not a little girl. I'm 13. And we thought maybe you'd talk to me.
That's insulting.
It worked, didn't it?
The Avarish turned to Quinn with a gaze so vicious Quinn thought she might catch fire. Which, as far as Quinn knew, was a real possibility. She had never met a real witch before.
Sorry, I didn't mean to trick you. I didn't know you don't like him. Well, he did kind of say you might not want to talk to him, but I thought he meant because he's so big and armored.
Quinn thought for a moment about what Spark had said. The conversation had been going on in circles, and the Avarish hadn't given her even a bit of information.
Please, we don't know how to deal with Scarsteel. We have no idea what its weakness is, just that it bleeds gasoline.
Or something like it.
Deal with it. You want to kill it.
Avarish knelt to pick something up from the ground.
Maybe.
What does that mean? Maybe like you aren't sure? Maybe like you don't care? Or maybe like you just haven't accepted it yet?
I didn't really think about it.
I can't say I'm surprised.
You're mean. This isn't helping.
I never promised I'd be helpful.
Quinn and Spark shared a look that said, this isn't working.
Why not? We need your help.
I know. But why should I get involved?
There's an entire town in danger. I've been sheltering them in my room every night because we're so afraid of Scarsteel.
Okay. But why should I involve myself? What reason do I have to intervene?
Are you not listening to me?
No, I don't think you're listening to me. Why should I help you kill your dragon? Why should I help you and the colonel kill one of the rarest and most precious creatures in the world?
What?
Quinn tripped over a branch and caught herself. Yavrish didn't slow, and Quinn quickly fell behind.
What the hell is her problem?
How selfish can she be? Does she want us to pay her? We should just go home.
Ugh. You're right. Let's get out of here before the trolls come back.
Quinn ran her hands through her hair and tried to remember which way was out.
We need her to get home, don't we?
Yep.
Darn it.
With a frustrated sigh, Quinn hurried after Avarish. When they caught up with her again, she was standing in the clearing around a small cottage tending to a rose bush. Unlike the rotted shack where they'd escaped the trolls, this cottage was in remarkably good shape, with a well-kept garden and a small stack of firewood.
Oh, good. I worried you had gotten lost.
I need your help to get home.
Exactly. I thought I was going to have to go find you.
She opened the door to the cottage.
Come in. Excuse the mess. I wasn't expecting visitors today. Or ever.
You live here?
Yes. Where did you think I lived? A den beneath a rotted tree?
Maybe.
There seem to be a lot of things you don't know.
Avarish went inside and left the door open.
I'd like to go home now.
Hmm?
The witch appeared again, Her stare was less callous than Quinn was expecting.
So soon?
You're just insulting me. You don't want to help. What else do we have to talk about?
You're right. I've been rude. I'm sorry. Please, come in. I'd like to talk.
The avarice rolled her eyes and disappeared into the cottage.
I promised that you wouldn't be hurt, and I stand by that.
Is there some sort of magic that means you can't break your word?
You really are confused. No. Well, not right now. But I did promise you a friend the rat, and I'd rather not piss Gallows' spies off more than I already have.
I don't know.
Or else you could just sit out there.
I don't know about this.
I don't think she wants to hurt us.
How can you know that? We don't know anything about her. She's been dodging all our questions.
I know, but...
What?
Well, she doesn't know that she can trust us either.
Quinn hesitated, then walked to the doorway. She looked in cautiously. The front door opened on the kitchen, which looked like it had been ransacked. She could barely wrap her head around the disaster of a room. Strange plants tied up with string or sitting in pots. Scraps of paper covered in writing. Books, some old and faded, some brand new. Clothing piled creatively on every surface in sight. Quinn stood stunned by the apparent tornado aftermath that lay before her.
As I said, forgive the mess.
The avarice swept across the room and cleared a large book, a discarded bra, and some sort of animal intestine from the small kitchen table. From one of the chairs, she cleared a pile of books, a softcover novel with a muscular male torso on the cover, a hardcover cookbook with a picture of a smiling lady, and a blue medical textbook that must have weighed 20 pounds.
Please, sit.
Quinn stepped awkwardly into the offered chair and sat, trying her best not to touch anything. Avarice was already back at the stove, tending to a teapot. Spark, slightly less disconcerted by the mess than Quinn, started exploring. Avarice dropped her bag on the counter and opened it. To Quinn's surprise, along with the various herbs, mushrooms, and berries she had gathered, it was filled with groceries. She could see broccoli, fresh fruit, and even a bag of sliced bread.
Will you talk to me about Scarsteel now?
I come across as callous sometimes. Living in the woods can do that. I don't think you're a spy, but you were brought to me and introduced by one of Gallo's spies. And then I learned the Colonel sent you. You can't blame me for being skeptical.
Then why invite me in?
I feel bad. I haven't given you a chance to catch your breath, and I should at least hear you out.
Oh. Well, thanks.
Don't take it as a change of heart, though. It's hospitality. It doesn't mean I'll help you.
Okay.
Good. Tea?
She handed Quinn the cup. The drink was dark brown with a loose-leaf tea strainer. Quinn sniffed the drink nervously. Her eyes drifted to the strange herbs and mushrooms that littered the kitchen counter.
What kind of tea is it?
The avarice raised an eyebrow and, smiling, lifted a small box labeled Earl Grey. It looked like it had been bought from a grocery store.
Your caution is noted, but it's just tea.
Oh.
She sniffed the tea again.
For God's sake, here, I have some too.
Avarice lifted her own mug.
Would you prefer to switch?
No, that's okay.
Quinn sipped the drink. It tasted bitter, but the normal kind of bitter.
Sugar?
Yes, please.
Quinn sat at the crowded table. The avarice stood with her elbows on the counter.
Why don't you want to help deal with Scarsteel?
I don't like that you say, want to deal with them. You want to kill them, right? Or am I missing something?
I just wanted to stop attacking Ardor. Is there a way of doing that without killing it? Is there some sort of dragon repellent we could use?
Say there was. Say I told you it was... this mushroom, here, that would drive them away without hurting them. Would you be satisfied with that? What if they found another town, and even larger town than Ardor? Wouldn't you then be responsible for all the damage they would do there? That's not rhetorical.
Honestly, I didn't really know there were other towns like Ardor.
Did no one tell you?
Everyone there has been there their whole lives. I guess talking animals would come and go sometimes, but... the Colonel and Patch were the first outsiders I really met. And the dragon, I guess.
Oh, really?
She took a sip of her tea and looked deeply at Avarice. She was still being evasive. They weren't the only ones who wanted information. Avarice was playing some sort of game, and Quinn didn't know what the game was, but she was clearly losing. Quinn turned to find the source of the strange noise. It seemed to be coming from the fireplace behind the shut flue.
Oh, quiet you. Pardon my pet.
Oh. So why don't you want to get involved?
Oh, how can I explain this? To me, it would be wrong to harm the dragon.
It's wrong to save the innocent gnomes it's killing?
Do you think it's your responsibility to save them?
They're my friends. I want to...
Quinn paused. Another reversal.
Why would it be wrong?
It's how I see it.
That's not an answer. You called dragons rare and precious.
Indeed.
What's so precious about them? They're big, dangerous, and metal. Big deal.
The avarice sipped her tea.
I understand that this is not the best of creatures to ingratiate the species to you. But even though it's such a carnivore, it still deserves to live.
Aha! It wasn't much, but that was the first bit of information she had pulled from the witch. Were other dragons not carnivores? That reminded Quinn of something. The Colonel had mentioned that dragons were very different from each other.
Then what's so precious about them?
And does a creature need to be precious to deserve to live?
You called it precious, not me.
Avarish picked up something small and furry from the counter. Stepping around Quinn, she walked to the fireplace and cracked open the flue. Spark disappeared in an instant, and Quinn almost leapt out of her chair as tendrils of black flame lashed up to consume the fluffy bundle as soon as Avarish tossed it inside. The witch walked past Quinn again, ignoring the shock in her eyes.
Excuse him. He's scary, but he means no harm. Just hungry.
What the hell is...
Was this another distraction? Was the witch trying to be intimidating?
He's adorable. How do we fight the dragon?
Let me be explicit. I want no part in killing... Scarsteel. And I'm not really interested in helping you kill it either.
Finally, the witch turned away from the oddities on her counter and pulled out the other chair to sit with Quinn. She calmly sipped her tea.
Why not? It's killing innocent people.
What is wrong with you? I fed you. Stop whining. I know exactly what they're doing. I've seen them flying past.
Then how can you not help?
I understand you care about your town, but I'm an ecologist. I have a different moral code. I have no interest in killing such a rare, beautiful fairy.
Beautiful? What about the fairies it's killing? Don't they count for anything?
Of course they do. But more to you than me. Think about this. Just earlier today, I saw a hawk that caught a squirrel. It was still eating it. Had you been me, would you have killed the hawk to save the squirrel?
That's totally different.
What if the squirrel could talk? What if it had caught your rat instead?
Quinn sputtered. The avarice was wrong. Couldn't she see that she was wrong? But Quinn couldn't find the words to explain why.
It's not the same.
It's not the same to you. And I respect that. I ask that you respect that this is how I see it.
But it made no sense, right? Something about it reminded Quinn of the rabbits from the painting, bathed in brighter light than their surroundings.
If the squirrel had friends, I doubt they would have seen the difference.
Quinn sipped her tea. It was bitter from frustration and oversteeping.
I know this isn't what you want to hear. I don't expect you to agree, and maybe you can see why I live so remotely.
Yeah, I guess I can.
The avarice sipped her tea and looked away.
It can't be beautiful when it's killing my friends.
I understand. You know, I saw you with the trolls.
I know, you said that.
Well, no. I mean, I watched you. Invisibly. From when it dragged you to its pit.
And you didn't help me?
That's what I'm getting to. I thought about it. But think what would have happened if I had.
I wouldn't have been trapped in a pit for so long.
Avarish didn't reply, but raised her eyebrow smugly and sipped her tea. Also smugly.
I would have escaped, and I wouldn't have pulled that thing out of the troll.
Exactly. And now that troll is healthier, and maybe even in your debt. They're very loyal creatures. Did you know that? No, of course you didn't. If I had tried to save you, I might have had to kill the healthy one if it attacked to save its mate. Would you have had me make that trade? Your safety for the lives of both those trolls?
I don't know. I guess not.
Then maybe this position is no different.
Quinn sat there sipping her tea. Avarish was still wrong, but Quinn couldn't figure out how to explain why.
So you won't help me? Won't tell me anything more about it?
I'm sorry to be stubborn.
So you do know more, you're just not telling me.
Again, Avarish raised an eyebrow.
Why did you agree to talk to me? What do you get out of it?
The witch shrugged.
Well, maybe I enjoy your company.
I don't think so. You've been toying with me all day.
If you're so vigilant, then you tell me.
See, she keeps doing that.
Spark walked out carefully from between two stacks of books to join them.
Hmm?
You keep turning questions around.
Yeah. You keep asking me to figure things out, or what I think of things.
I like to ask my guests for their opinions. Is that considered rude?
Quinn was suddenly reminded of the time her parents had forced her to see a therapist.
You keep evading questions and getting me to tell you what I think. It's like you're studying me.
Is it?
Quinn thought back to the first things Avarish had said.
Yes. You want to know about me because I'm a Whisperling. You're collecting data on how Whisperlings think.
An interesting theory.
Quinn tried to hold her gaze.
Okay, fine. I'm sorry I was not more candid. I didn't mean for it to be demeaning. It's only that I wish to get to know how you, as someone torn between two fabrics, think. It's a unique perspective.
I don't know what that means. But why not just tell me that?
I thought it might bias you. You might be insecure if I just told you.
Quinn wondered if she could possibly have been any more insecure than she already had been. Still, she felt less on edge now than when she had first walked in.
What do you know about Whisperlings?
Well, tell me what you know already.
Quinn gave her a skeptical look. This time, Avarish laughed.
You're right. Of course you know about the fabrics.
No?
I'm sure you do. The two fabrics run in parallel, the human fabric and the fabric of the Fae. Your friend the fox and I and all the fairies in your town are woven to the Fae. Your friends at school are woven to the human. A Whisperling is woven into both.
What does that mean, fabric?
It's just the word that's used. It's just a metaphor.
That's kind of dumb.
What would you call it?
We call it the worldly and the otherworldly.
Indeed. Did you come up with that yourself?
Yeah, from something I read once.
I suppose that makes you the locus where the worldly and the otherworldly meet.
The what? Never mind. What else do you know about Whisperlings?
Not a whole lot. In fact, there's very little evidence that they exist.
I'm still not sure they do.
Shush.
Quinn nudged Spark with her foot half-heartedly, but was listening carefully to the change in Avarish's tone.
For one thing, there's the word. Do you know why the term for them, for you, is Whisperling?
No, I guess I don't.
It's observational. It took me a while to figure this one out. A fairy coined the term because of how the Whisperlings would speak to them. You see, the Whisperlings don't want the humans hearing them when they talk to fairies, so...
So to the fairy, it seemed they only spoke in whispers.
Yes, but beyond the term, I'm not quite sure. I've heard some theories that they are connected to the lords of animals, and some that they are born directly from the way the fabrics overlap, but neither has much clout.
Quinn nodded, completely lost.
Some even say that they have more in common with reflectives. Dragons, never mind.
What did you call them?
Forget it. It seems to me that you identify more as a human than a fae. Would you agree?
Reflexive?
Reflective. Reflexive is a grammar term.
What's a reflective?
Quinn could see Avarish mulling it over. Despite herself, the witch wanted to answer the question.
Reflective is the proper term for what you call a dragon. How long have you two known each other?
Wait, it is? What does it mean?
I told you that I wouldn't help you kill them.
Quinn sipped her tea again. For the first time, she felt like she had the power. Avarish was getting excited. She wanted to share her research. Quinn could use that.
I'm curious. You called them rare and beautiful. You said they weren't all like Scarsteel. How can I know what they're really like if you won't teach me?
Oh, shut up. Don't think that I can't tell that you're manipulating me.
Sorry. You manipulated me, though. You have to admit, it's only fair.
Point taken, I suppose.
But do you really think that hiding information is the best way to convince me to see your side of things? I'm not asking for weaknesses, just... Why are they called reflectives?
The witch, having finished her tea, stood to put the mug in the sink. She was silent for a moment, then...
I can't believe that I'm considering this. I want to show you something. A secret. It's relevant.
Quinn perked up.
But the Colonel absolutely cannot know. Please don't go in there.
Quinn turned to see Spark, awkwardly standing perfectly still, his front paws on the door to the next room. He hopped down.
Sorry.
The Colonel cannot know about this. So if you want to see, I need you to do something.
What?
The avarice reached into the mess and pulled out a leather-bound journal.
This book is magic. A promise written here cannot be taken back.
She flipped the journal open. Quinn could barely see, but it looked like most of the pages were warped and torn, like the whole book had been soaked in water. Some pages had writing, others were covered in ink smudges.
I promise not to indicate to anyone, in any way, the secret Avarish will show me in the forest, nor what she will explain of dragons on this day.
She turned the book back to Quinn, who shied away.
That's fair. Let me go first.
She started writing again.
I promise I will not put Quinn in any danger, and I will return her safely to her home tonight. She won't be under any magic influence aside from that which she explicitly consents to. My word is still my bond, and I do not like using this. But only fair, it's put in writing.
The avarice took her pen and sloppily signed her name under the second promise. Nothing happened.
Did it work?
It did. And no, it doesn't glow or anything. Here. You can say no if you want, but I can't show you if you don't.
I don't like this.
You'll need to sign it too. A paw print will suffice.
Quinn took the book and read the promise once more.
I promise not to indicate to anyone, in any way, the secret avarice will show me in the forest, nor what she will explain of dragons on this day. Will that include what you've said so far?
No. Only what I'm going to show you after this.
Will Spark and I be able to talk about it with each other?
I guess not. That's not fair, is it?
She took the book back and added, except for other undersigned, to the line. She gave the book back to Quinn. After a moment, Quinn signed it. Spark cringed slightly, but allowed the avarice to dip his paw in ink and printed the page. Again, nothing happened.
Good. It really isn't sinister. You'll see why I can't be too careful.
The avarice put the book away and walked out of the cottage. The fireplace made a crackling sound. Quinn and Spark took one last look at the mess of a cabin, then followed her as she wound confusingly, definitely not in a straight line, through the trees.
Are you sure you know where you're going?
I am. I'd rather make the trail as hard to follow as I can. Reflectives get their name because they mold themselves to their environment. When they're young, they grow and consume everything around them, and then they change to reflect what they eat. Because of this, each reflective is entirely unique. It was surprising to me that you didn't know that. I wonder why the Colonel never told you.
Maybe he doesn't know?
I doubt it. Reflectives are extremely rare. I'm not quite sure what causes them. It has something to do with a sustained burst of energy, activity. Not quite sure. But when they do occur, they tend to grow quite large. It's not surprising people call them dragons. I don't know if they were the inspiration for the mythological creature or if the myth developed independently.
Quinn immediately tried to use this to figure out a weakness, but nothing came to mind.
Where are we going?
You'll see.
Question.
Yes.
You're a witch.
Is that a question? I am. Or close enough.
That's just it. If reflectives aren't really dragons, they're called that because they inspired dragons, are you like that with witches? Are creatures like you where humans' ideas of witches came from?
No. Your people's history with the term witch is way more complicated than that. In my case, though, it seems to work. I call myself a witch because it's the closest thing I could think of to what I seem to be.
It was maybe an hour later when Avarish finally stopped at the top of a hill.
We're here.
Quinn looked around. Around the hilltop was a circle of trees, connected by a complex web of vines, an emerald green canopy that reached all the way to the surrounding woods, down the trunks of trees into the soil. The grass was far taller and denser than anything Quinn had seen in the rest of the woods. The trunks of the trees were covered in moss, and peeking out all through the clearing were flowers, yellow, pink, and purple.
It's beautiful.
Just watch. Listen.
Quinn sat with Spark and looked at the verdant web of vines, of moss, of trees, and flowers. There was something soothing about the way it all moved in the wind. But Quinn looked at the surrounding trees and noticed there was no wind. The grass, the flowers, the circle of trees, the vines, they were all moving. Slowly. Rhythmically.
It's breathing.
It is.
What is it?
I don't know what it was that caused it to appear. A lightning strike, perhaps, or maybe an eruption. Or maybe just extremely fertile soil. 1,000 years ago, I think. It started to consume, and all it reached were trees and roots and vines. It started growing flowers, it started photosynthesizing, and it was good at it. The nutrients that it creates here have helped the forest grow so strong. It's why I barely need to leave the woods to find the things I need. The woods created it, and so in gratitude, it feeds them. It keeps them healthy.
It's a reflective.
I call it Gaia.
The trees rippled when the wind exhaled. A rain of petals fell down around them, then flew away like butterflies. Quinn sat down, and the moss and soil moved to support her weight.
I hope you see now what I mean. I look at the reflective you now fight, and I can't help but think of this, of them. If Scarsteel had been born within this glade, then they would look like this. It's only their environment, whatever godforsaken place that is, that raised them to be the beast of rage they are today.
The three sat there, watching Gaia breathe for what felt like hours. Eventually, as it began to get dark, wordlessly, Avarish turned to leave, and Quinn and Spark followed. They walked in silence through the woods, winding just as carefully until they reached the break in the trees. Quinn could see her house down the road.
Avarish?
Mm-hmm?
Are you a Whisperling?
No, I'm not.
Oh. It's just, you look human. And you have so many human things. You have a house, you have books, and a working sink, and clothing, and tea. Do you just steal those things?
Stole or scavenged. I can't interact with people. Humans. When I look at them, they're hazy, like smudged ink. And if I get close to them, I can't get close to them.
What are you? Like, what are you?
I honestly don't know. I just remember waking up one day in these woods, and then I was alive. I may have been alive before that, since I knew how to read and talk. I've done my research, and still I haven't found another like myself.
Maybe I can help? I don't know much, but maybe I can ask people?
Avarish smiled.
You know, I think you might volunteer to help too easily. Not everyone who needs your help is worth it. Eventually, you'll have to choose. Thank you, though.
Quinn didn't really understand, but smiled.
Wait, one more thing. You mentioned something at the very start. What's manifesting?
Ah, good question. It's something that I've heard can happen to a Whisperling. I really don't know much besides that, though. But if you start to notice strange things happening to you and things around you, then come find me. I think that we could help each other.
Strange, like a reflective attacking?
No. More like the objects in your life begin to do strange things.
Like what?
Honestly, I'm not quite sure. If you realize that promises you write in a diary can't be broken, for example, that would count as strange.
She and Spark said goodbye to the Witch of Avarish and walked the rest of the way home.
I'm not arguing. I'm not. Look, I'm not trying to make a stink. I just think...
Hey, Mom. I'm home.
Hi, Quinn. Be right there.
Quinn went to her room and closed the door. She lay down on her bed and let out a long breath. Spark jumped up to join her.
Crazy day, huh?
Quinn groaned and curled into a ball. Spark poked her gently with his nose.
Are you okay?
What the hell? What the hell? What the hell?
Hey, Quinn, you want some dinner?
Yeah, 1 minute.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I fell off my bike, but it was fine, just into some dirt.
Oh, no. Were you wearing a helmet?
Yeah, of course. How about you? How was your day?
I had coffee with Joan. Did you know her daughter's moving to the city?
Gross. You were arguing with someone?
Oh, not arguing, just talking.
A coworker?
No, actually your dad called.
What? You didn't tell me?
He had to go. He'll call back tomorrow.
Fine. What were you arguing about?
Nothing, honey. He's doing okay. Did you see Dominic today?
Dominic, Jen, the fire, the boy with the black hair and the skull patch on his bag, Mike. It came rushing into Quinn's mind all at once.
No, I didn't. I'll be right down. I need to use the bathroom.
Quinn hurried to the bathroom, closed the door, and grabbed the edge of the sink. She struggled to catch her breath. She tried to get control of herself as tears fell down her face. She curled into a ball on the floor, pushed a towel to her face, and screamed. A few minutes later, she had wiped her eyes, checked to make sure they weren't visibly red, and went down to dinner. She returned to her room soon after and worked half-heartedly on her essay, which she was no longer ahead on. She soon grew frustrated and gave up to lie in bed.
Do you want to talk about it?
Talk about what?
Well, all of it. But I mean what happened in the pit.
No. Not right now.
Okay. Gaia was really amazing, wasn't it? She? They?
Yeah. They were. Why is there so much? All at once. I can barely keep track of the arsonist. Now I almost get eaten by a troll, and there are 2 dragons, and...
Yeah. It sucks.
Quinn thrust her face down into the pillow.
I don't like her. Avarish, I mean.
Maybe she was right.
No! Screw her! She doesn't get to poke you like you're some sort of specimen and then guilt you about saving your friends' lives. Screw her. She can't do that.
Quinn took a deep breath, rolled over, and ran a hand through Spark's fur. A little later, she opened the window to let the people of Ardor in one more time. And tonight, for the first time, she finally managed to go to sleep in the crowded room.